place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
Wow, what a great night's sleep. I went to bed early. What happened?
Yes, I'm going.
Oh, really? How late did you last?
End of the third.
Yes, I'm going.
Didn't feel good about it, end of the third. I don't ask for much. Here's what I ask for. I got to go to bed, you know, at a reasonable hour. So maybe you could get a decent lead.
Did you watch to the bitter end?
No, end of the third quarter. Time.
Oh, I watched till the end. Why?
You know, listen, I'm only going to say this about 900 times because you know how much I hate being right. Play the friggin' preseason.
Or cancel it.
Yeah, or don't play it at all.
Or do what college football does. And
just start.
Every game counts from game one, and everybody's kind of in the same boat.
Because what a shocker. They look like they hadn't played together before.
You know, it's interesting because last year they didn't play their starters in the preseason, and it didn't look like that. I mean, it was maybe not as sharp as they were a month or two later, but it didn't look like it did last night. And I know Matt Nagy is defending his approach and saying that's not the reason they look that way, but there has to be some explanation.
Okay,
there has to be some explanation.
Yeah, Coach, now what is the explanation? You didn't have him ready? You're not a good coach?
You didn't practice?
Yeah, you took the last 3 weeks off and we didn't notice? Ridiculous. Hamps Head will explode, scheduled for 7:40 this morning. Let's get right to the top six at six, shall we? Yeah.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
254 yards of total offense. That's offensive. And the team had over 100 yards in penalties. You know when you get penalties, Dave? I don't know if you know much about football, Dave. But here's how you get penalties.
Yeah, explain it to me, Steve.
Here's how you get penalties. You get penalties when you don't practice or play enough to work as a unit, Dave. That's how you get penalties.
Well, they certainly didn't work as a unit last night. Yeah. Although, again, the defense gave them a chance to win. The defense is going to be fine.
They're going to be fine. The team's going to be fine. But you lost to the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
And an opening night
and you look
of the 100th season.
And
you
look
like
bad
crap
doing it. That's the problem.
You're only going to go up from here, though, guys.
Talk about a buzzkill.
It's only going to go up.
So, Steve, while you were sleeping, about 5 minutes to go, the Packers kicked a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Bears are down 10-3.
No way to come back from that, Dave. Not possible.
So it was significant. They held them there to a field goal, because now you still got a chance. They drove from their own 25-yard line to the Green Bay 16-yard line.
There was hope. It was looking
there
good.
There was hope. It looks like they're going to go in and tie the game. And Trubisky, and I'm not sure what he was doing, but he's trying to hit Allen Robinson in the corner of the end zone. No chance. And it's picked off by Adrian Amos, of all guys.
Former Bear.
And the Bears did make a stop on defense, got the ball back. They had, I think, one timeout left, though, and 90 seconds, and Trubisky gets sacked on fourth down, and that's the ball game. But, yeah.
Look, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you don't have to play the preseason. You've accomplished something. If you're Mitch Trubisky, you got to play. You've done nothing yet. You won a bunch of games last year. You got a lot of upside. You got to play. This is Matt Nagy's mistake. This is Matt Nagy's fault. Matt Nagy needs to fix it, or the Bears are going to go in a very bad direction with a bad schedule. It's a bad start.
Well, at least he's played now, and they played, and they have an extra few days to get ready for Denver a week from Sunday out there.
They got the bye because they sucked.
It's not another night game, is it, Dave?
No, it's 3:25 next Sunday afternoon.
Well, that's a night game, Dave. 3:25.
Well, yes, it is for us.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's not really a bye either. It's because they played on Thursday. Yeah, they get an extra couple of days.
Just hang in there, everybody. It's going to be okay. It's going to get better.
I'm fine.
It is.
Obviously, you didn't watch it, G.
I watched the whole thing.
Oh,
Thank you very much.
No,
wow.
No, she watched it. She just didn't care that much.
Oh, I did care. I totally cared.
No, you've got a life.
Hey, not knowing what's going on is totally different than not caring.
Maybe we should know what's going on. We'll feel better.
G's quote to me when she came in this morning was, Yeah, that was bad. And even I know that, and I don't know anything about football.
I tell you what we need. Here's what we need today, and I hope we get it. We need Trump with a Sharpie diagramming how the Bears get out of this hole.
Go.
And a group hug.
The owners of the California dive boat where 34 people died in a fire over the weekend have filed a lawsuit to avoid liability in the case. No, I don't understand that either. You're a lawyer.
No, I'm not.
Well, you graduated from law school.
Yeah, anybody can do that.
All right, so filing a lawsuit to avoid liability means what? I'll sue you before you sue me? You'll get back to me? You don't remember that class?
What were you saying?
Investigators say the crew of the ship made several attempts to save victims who were trapped in the blaze. Truth Aquatics filed suit Thursday in Los Angeles court under a pre-Civil War provision of maritime law that allows it to limit its liability. The suit said the company and owners Glenn and Dana Fritzler used reasonable care to make the Conception seaworthy, and she was at all relevant times tight, staunch, strong, fully and properly manned, equipped and supplied with all the respect, seaworthy and fit for the service which she was engaged. Those are all
wow, that's
maritime
a
words.
Pre-Civil War provision?
Yeah, those are all maritime words.
Oh my
words.
Goodness.
Now, here's the thing. There was one smoke detector on board that they were able to determine. It was a kind of smoke detector you buy from Home Depot. There were also batteries galore and charging.
Yeah, from cameras.
Equipment from cameras and mm-hmm. phones and everything else all placed in one area.
Yes.
It could have been a heating, charging, you know, explosive sort of problem. And I didn't know this, but apparently there's a law that says if you have a certain number of people on board, you have to have someone up all night, a night watchman who patrols the boat. And they did not.
That would make total sense.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many people comply with that type of regulation.
I don't know. But that's just such an awful story. It doesn't get any better.
I wonder if a common practice is for that not really to happen on a boat of that size. I don't know.
I'm suing you, by the way.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I'm going to pre-sue you under a civil law maritime based on Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm. I don't even have a beef with you. I just feel like I should. Next. Boris Johnson struggled Thursday to keep his Brexit plans on track. Again, Brexit kids. Brexit is Britain removing itself from the European Union because they had a referendum a couple of years ago. It was binding, and now they've been trying to figure out how to get out and do it in the most economically feasible way as possible. The deal that Boris Johnson wants is just to leave without a deal. He just wants to figure it out afterwards. People in Parliament are rightfully concerned about that. Johnson said, quote, he'd rather be dead in a ditch than go to Brussels for a delay to Brexit. I think there's a lot of people in the UK who might increase the odds of that if this continues. Paul Coit, our London correspondent, will join us this morning at 8:40 and tell us what's up with this. Now, he won't understand it. I'm not sure he even knows who Boris Johnson is, but he will be on the show.
It's so bad for Boris Johnson that his brother abandoned ship yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Right. On a bicycle. It was awesome.
Yeah. Like, so urgently did he need to get away from his brother. He couldn't even wait for a car.
Right.
Next, Facebook users in the United States can officially use the social network as a dating service, complete with specialized profiles, a matchmaking algorithm. John DeCosta is here. John, wasn't I in a band called the Matchmaking Algorithms?
Yeah, 79 to 81.
Facebook Dating, which began rolling out in other countries this year, launched in the U.S. yesterday. Has anybody looked at it?
I did.
And?
One of the things that jumped out at me is they don't do background checks.
Well,
so
that doesn't seem problematic at all.
Date at your own risk.
Wait, what dating site does background checks?
I believe that there doesn't Tinder do...
Tinder? Are you kidding?
I think they do some sort of precursory check, don't they?
Oh, my. Tinder's, though. That's just the swipe left, swipe right hookup app.
Well, they should do background checks.
Yeah.
And there should be background checks and biological testing before anyone goes out.
FarmersOnly.com definitely does some background checks.
Yeah, to find out if you're a farmer.
Because you're going to be a farmer, right?
Yeah. ever since its launch, 400 million people have been exposed through user phone numbers being released and things of that nature. Facebook says it's taken down the database and fixed the issue. So now all of you that want to date, all 400,000 of you or 400 million of you, whatever, you'll be completely safe on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook has a problem every day just with its normal stuff, keeping
private stuff private. I'm really scared about what's going to happen with this dating app.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever use Facebook as a dating app.
So it will allow your... It doesn't necessarily show your friends that you've joined this dating thing, but there's a toggle that you can put on or off that says, introduce you to friends of friends.
Although, with all the data they've collected on each of us, they might know us better than we know ourselves.
That's possible, but do you really want an introduction from somebody to say, hey, I'm a friend of so-and-so?
Well, that's the new blind date, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Next. The Mom Project, a Chicago company that links mothers and employers looking to hire, will start handing out blue and white baby on board buttons to pregnant passengers near the Clark and Lake L station on Tuesday. The buttons are designed to encourage commuters to offer their seats to pregnant riders. I'll tell you right now, if you see a pregnant woman and you don't offer to get up, jump off the train while it's moving. And by the way, men and women. If you're a healthy woman, get up and let the pregnant lady sit down.
Yesterday, speaking of, on the red line, there was a couple visiting from England. Everybody was seated. They had a baby in a stroller. They picked the baby up out of the stroller. She's trying to, like, you know,
nobody offered
balance and hold the baby. So I offered to get up,
and she
sat down. Yeah. Even if the baby's born and the mom is trying to balance the baby whilst doing other things on a moving train, you should offer her your seat.
We have turned into a thoroughly uncivilized society. Let's not give this up of just being decent
indeed
to pregnant ladies.
Indeed, sir.
And finally this. The Anti-Cruelty Society took in 89 cats and dogs Thursday from around Myrtle Beach to keep them out of harm's way as Hurricane Dorian continues to thrash the coast of the Carolinas. The storm, a Category 2 now, was beaten up on the Carolinas overnight last night. Did you see, by the way, the track of the storm, as of yesterday, will start to twist north-northwest, or northeast, north-northeast. It will go over Nova Scotia. It will then continue to bend, and sometime, I believe, by late next week, will be in Donald Trump's Greenland, pounding on Greenland, and then continue to move. This storm is like the most vicious, ridiculous weather system ever.
I thought for a second there you were going to say it's going to turn toward Alabama, but you didn't.
No, Greenland and Alabama are very close.
Same thing.
You can see it on Donald Trump's map. At 6:23, if you want to be Lou's first caller, here's your chance. The number to call is, I almost gave out my cell phone number. I literally was about to give my cell phone number out. Well, it starts with a 6. 312-981-7200 is the number. Call now with your house problem. Lou will fix it after the break.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
All right, let's go live to Lou Manfredini. Are you not at Channel 9 this morning?
I'm not. I'm in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. See the game last night?
I did. Yeah. At a lovely sports bar in downtown Atlanta with our managers from our two hardware stores. I'm here for the Ace Convention. Mm-hmm. It was sad.
Yeah, you know why, Lou? Well, listen, we're done with football for the moment. All right, so we get the first caller in here right away. Gail's here from Elgin. Gail, what is your question for Lou?
From Halsip.
Gail's from Halsip. Why would you say Elgin, Lou?
I don't know.
He knows Halsip. He's been at that Fox Lumber all
Fox
the time.
Home Center.
Oh, sure.
There
okay. So what's going on, Gail?
Where are we?
My question is, I had a friend that came to visit, and he left big oil stains in my driveway. How do I get rid of that?
The friend or the oil stains?
That's okay. He's still a friend. It's only a little bit of oil.
All right, hold on. Let's get you an answer.
If it's fresh, like they just left, if you have some detergent, like from the laundry detergent, the best I found is a powdered Tide. Make a paste with warm water and a scrub brush. Scrub it in there. Let it sit there for about 10 minutes. Scrub it again and then rinse it, and that should work. If that does not do it, there's another product you can get called Pour and Restore. That you put over the top of the stain, let it sit overnight, and it will break down the stain, and then you wipe it up with a broom, and it'll have a wet spot, and when the wet spot goes away, the oil stain is gone.
It's like magic.
It does. It really works.
The whiny staff questions will come in just a moment if there are any. In the meantime, what goes on at an Ace Hardware convention? I mean, you guys throwing water balloons out the window at tourists?
Right. This is actually the spring show, you know, because retail is 6 months ahead or behind. And so this is all the products that retailers will have in the spring. And so there's a bunch of vendors set up. It's actually a buying show. So the retailers from all across the country, there's probably 5,000 of them here walking around. And, you know, whatever, the latest and greatest product and special deals, whatever it might be, and a way to kind of get together with business owners from across the country to see how they're doing and pick their brains, what's working, and try and bring those ideas to different parts of the country.
The managers from your stores that you brought in, are they nervous about traveling with you since you're the boss?
No, they could care less.
Oh, they show you the amount of respect you deserve?
They're very capable people. You know, so using the analogy of sports, I know you're done with football. I'm the Virginia McCaskey, and they're the Matt Nagy's. Oh, wait. Maybe that's not the right way to say it.
What's the coolest thing I could buy at the hardware store right now?
Actually, a really cool product that that I'm going to learn more about today is there's this new caulking for your bathroom from a company that's been around forever called Sashco, but it's called Cleans, CLEANZ, and it is a caulking that they've embedded an enzyme into. So if you have a continuous problem with mildew or mold where the tile meets the tub, remove that and use this product, and it claims that that enzyme stays active inside the caulking, so mildew and mold will not form.
Do you believe it?
I do. I want to learn more today, but the company that's making it is a legit company. They've been around for a long time, and all their other products are really good. So that's what makes me believe it, because I'm familiar with their reputation.
All right. Any whiny staff questions before we proceed?
I actually have a follow-up on that, on the caulk, because I'm about to caulk my tub.
Yeah, I'll caulk you if this continues.
Yeah. So, Luke, because I was wondering this, do I need to remove the old caulk before I put any new caulk? Because I found a product they say just put it over your old caulk, so that's not correct, right?
No, because the thing is that if there's moisture getting behind there and you just seal it up, plus you trap moisture behind there, the ultimate way to do it is to get rid of all the old stuff, then leave a fan on it for a few hours to really dry it out, then apply the new caulking. That's the way that you do it, Dave, where you get done with it, then you don't have to redo it in 6 months. It's years before you have to come back and tackle this project.
And how do you get rid of the old caulk? C4? Just put a little C4 in there and blow it up?
A little C4, right. Like Bill Murray in Caddyshack, make it the shape of a little twirl. No, you use a utility knife, and you cut the bottom edge, the top edge, and then a plastic putty knife to scrape it out so you don't scratch the tile or the tub. And then dry it out and put the new stuff in.
It's a lot of work. I'd have Lou come over and do it.
Yeah, I don't want to cut myself.
I'm available.
But I'm going to practice.
Maybe you should hire someone to do it.
No.
It's such an easy job to do, though.
Oh.
Okay, so you say.
Yeah. That sounds like G's going to do it.
A desktop indoor weather station for our friend Gail, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. If you're listening in Atlanta and you think you see Lou Manfredini wandering around today, you did. You're not drunk.
That's me.
What hotel are you at?
Some Hilton.
Are you in Buckhead?
Some Hilton, downtown.
Oh, downtown?
No, not in Buckhead, right downtown. Yeah, okay. Right downtown.
You have a good time.
Already.
You have a good time.
Love you, people.
All right, love you back. See you later. It's Lou Manfredini.
I'm very discombobulated this morning.
What are you talking about?
I am. I'm discombobulated because I need Lou to come here and fix my internets.
You got a Wi-Fi situation?
Yeah, that's why I'm out of it this morning.
John, wasn't I in a band called Wi-Fi Situation?
Yeah, that was from 83 to 85.
That's what I thought.
And I'm discombobulated because I wasn't able to help G with the Wi-Fi situation.
Yeah, that does drive... So you don't know this. That drives Super Joe crazy. If Super Joe can't fix a problem, it'll be in his head all morning.
Well, I felt a little bad because I'm like, Super Joe, it's the top of the show. You have more important things to do. Don't come...
Nope.
I felt bad.
Nope.
I was like, I'm distracting him.
Nope. He is like a St. Bernard with booze on his neck trying to get to the top of the mountain to make sure you're okay.
Anyway, I apologize. I was distracted during the top six at six. I'm sorry.
I am shocked and outraged.
I think I should just go home.
Me too.
There's a lot of trouble here already this morning. Stand by. Coming up, the return of little Katie.
Oh,
little
gosh.
Katie hasn't been little on in Katie. Years.
She's still little?
Yes, still wow. in second grade. We got to get to the headlines first on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You know, if you listen to the Steve Cochran Show for years, thank you for that. I haven't. But I appreciate your support. And a lot of you remember little Katie. Little Katie used to be on the show all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I got, renewed contact information the other day. So I placed a call to her daddy. And he said it was okay if she was on the show today.
Oh, that's good.
So it's exciting to have her back. Let's go to, the world's smartest second grader. Little Katie, it's so nice to talk to you again, little Katie.
Cochran, what's shaking, bacon?
Well, long-time listeners always enjoyed hearing you on the show, and they asked when I was going to have you back on.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
Listen, I'm just glad you're on the show. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I know you're a busy man, and I know between bashing the president and doing more on entertainment, I'm surprised you even have time for me anymore, Mr. Cochran.
Little Katie, I always have time for you. It makes me happy just to hear your voice. Hey, can I ask you a couple questions?
Yeah, fire away.
Well, first off, how's the new school year?
Well, I like seeing my friends and stuff, but it's a little B-O-R-I-N-G.
I understand.
That's so boring, Daddy. Be quiet.
Listen, you're a very smart girl, and maybe you need more challenging work.
Huh, gee, you think? I mean, coloring between the lines can really take a lot out of a gal.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Do you get tired when you have to do it?
Yes, I do. Very much. So I heard you yell to your daddy there. How is your daddy?
Good. Do you want me to get him?
No.
Daddy!
No, Katie, it's
okay. I got Mr. Cochran on the phone!
Katie, it's okay. Katie? No, it's okay. He and I can connect later. Just tell him hello. Are you still a big football fan?
You bet. Would you like my three little Katie locks of the week?
Oh, here you go, Dave. The three little Katie locks of the week.
Can't wait. Let me grab my pen.
Oh, yeah. The listeners are going to love that. All right, go.
Okay, ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Alabama will crush New Mexico State. Okay. And, ooh, what a brave move by the Tide to put those chumps on the schedule. Roll Tide, baby. Roll Tide.
All right, what else?
And I predict Eddie Pinata will be the Bears kicker until kids can whack him and all the candy falls out.
Okay, all right. That's
the best part when the candy falls out.
There's no question. Hey, what about number three?
And finally, Donald Trump will be hired at Staples to manage the Sharpie department because he's sharp.
There you go. The three locks of the week. This is why it's so great to have little Katie back.
It's not Pinheiro. It's Eddie Pinheiro, not Pinata.
I don't think you should ever correct little Katie. It's hard to argue with any of
me. That's what the cool people call him. So you better get with the program, sir.
Little Katie.
Look, Captain Underpants book report's not going to write itself, so I got to go.
All right, bye-bye.
It's
little Katie.
Wow.
Little she Katie. Hasn't changed, has
not
she?
A bit. Wow, how great is that to hear her voice, though, huh?
She scares me.
What a great kid. Great kid. Too smart for this show, clearly.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Major problem here on the show this morning. Somebody stole my pen.
Is this your pen?
Yes.
How did it end up over here?
Pen thief.
Oh, mystery solved. Oh, my goodness. It was just here in front of me when I walked in. It really
First
was.
First step to a cure is admitting you're a kleptomaniac.
I would just think that you would use a much finer, like, pen.
It's the one thing we couldn't check out with you when we hired you.
I'm going over the tapes now, Steve. I'm looking at the tapes now.
Security tapes?
Yeah.
I figured you'd use a nicer pen than that pen. Mm. Like, wouldn't you have, like, a nice, like... pen with like your
Steve. She also took your wallet. It looks like on these. Name on it.
Johnny Cousins here. John has been up all night, and I mean literally all night. Why were you up? Why were you awake all night?
Because that's how I roll.
I don't think he wants to talk about it. Because
he's a late night comedian.
No. My our oldest dog Chelsea had a bad night.
Did she watch the Bears game?
14.
Yes, she watched the Bears game, and she goes.
She's 14.
14. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it was a long night. But she's.
Yeah, it's 98 in people years.
It is. Yeah. It really is. But she deserves the attention. So that's good.
Absolutely.
So she was wanting to go outside every hour.
Yeah, about every hour and a half. So it was pretty
good. Found yourself in your backyard every hour and a half in the middle of the night.
Pretty much.
What's the over-under on when you doze off during the show this morning?
Oh, that's... I did already.
Oh, you did?
I apologize.
Okay.
I think when G looked at me and said, John, you're so quiet.
I didn't realize he could sleep with his like eyes open.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's part of his skill.
It's so good.
Tomorrow night, we have for you live stand-up comedy at the Metropolis in Arlington Heights. You want to give away a couple tickets?
Oh, let's do it. Yes, let's
do it. For you cheapskates who haven't bought tickets, here's your chance to win them. 312-981-7200. Joe, let's make this super complicated. Let's go seventh caller wins. If you can make it tomorrow night, we'll put you on a will call list. You are in.
Perfect.
For free on me. Now, honestly, you ought to buy tickets. I mean, Abigail's College isn't going to pay for itself. 312-981-7200 is the number. Tim Benker, you, me. And I got a request. I don't know if you're willing to do this. People want you to sing at these shows as the musical director. Would you be willing to sing tomorrow night live on stage?
Oh, God. Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course. That's yes.
Can we get Christopher, your musical son?
That would be mandatory.
Okay, so Christopher will be there with you tomorrow night. It'd be important for Christopher to know that at some point today. And then you and Christopher will sing on stage tomorrow
night. We'll sing on stage
tomorrow. What's it like? I mean, can you give us a little taste?
Yeah, whose song are
you
going to
pick? What do you mean, what's it like? You hear it all the time.
Whose song are you going to do?
Oh.
I think
intro songs, you mean?
Yeah, the bumps.
The songs
all the
about
bumps
us.
Stuff.
Yeah, I think we'll do the travel songs.
Yeah.
I think we'll do the state songs.
Another reason you should come to the show because it's stuff you're not going to get on the radio.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's right. And G, I know you can be there. You've got, what, three cars?
Yes, I do.
So
I have
this
a fleet.
Be a problem.
Just
can you
like,
swing by Arlington Heights tomorrow night?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, I'm cool. Just like, you know.
It's a great theater. You'd like it.
It's beautiful.
John,
beautiful.
Did you write the G song yet?
No. No.
I don't think I've passed the snuff yet.
Oh, well, it's a probationary period.
It is. Yeah.
He's not going to put all that work into...
And she just stole a pen, so we got to work that
Put that in the
it.
Song,
yep.
Yeah.
All right, 312-91-7200, seventh caller is a big winner. You want to do a quick fact or fiction?
Sure, let's do it.
We have prizes to give away always, and these prizes today include Lumel 90s gift certificates, apt gift cards, as always. 312-981-7200 is the number. But I just doubled up. I've got people calling in for the tickets. Now I'm telling them to call in front of the
radio. I know.
What are you going to do?
We'll just have to play in the studio. I tell you what, Super Joe, let's do this. Give away the tickets to the seventh caller. The eighth caller automatically wins Fact or Fiction. But let's play in the studio anyway. John, whenever you're ready.
Okay, here we go. Fact or Fiction. A group of hippos is called a bloat.
A bloat of hippos.
Fiction.
Hmm.
I'm playing properly today because you fussed at me and learned the rules.
Mary Vanderbilt?
I'm guessing someone was bloated today and he made it up.
Okay. Hmm. Steve?
I'm going to say it's a fact.
Dave? What show are you listening to, Dave? Or not listening to?
I'm sorry. I was listening to Matt Nagy.
Okay. A group of hippos is called a bloat. Fact or fiction?
That is fiction.
Okay. I'm going fact.
That is a fact.
Hey.
What?
Steve and Steve getting it done.
Listen, I thought this was just a stereotype because, you know, the hippos look like they're bloated. So I thought that's where that came
Maybe
from.
Maybe you should drop all those stereotypes you have in your head.
They're just big boned, actually. It's just big bones is what it is.
That's right, Steve.
Such a pretty hippo. All right, how about a bonus one? Give me one more.
Okay. Let's see. The lint in the bottom of your pocket has a name.
No, it doesn't.
And it is called Gnurr.
Spell it.
G-N-U-R-R.
G-N-U-R-R. That's so stupid. That's got to be a fact.
Word
I
like
have
Gannett.
Heard that this, that thing, whatever, had, that object has a name.
No, but that's the lint in your belly button.
Oh.
I think that one has a name.
Mm.
Right, Steve. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to go with fiction on this one,
okay,
I think.
Okay, Mary? Yeah.
I'm going with fiction.
G?
I'm going... fact.
Okay. I'm glad you didn't overthink it. Dave? Dave, are you with us?
just say fact or fiction.
No, and I know what it is. I'm kidding. That's fiction.
That was so good.
That's fact. That's another fact.
That is a fact.
Whoa! Oh,
my. It is a fact.
Oh my a Gnur?
Why would he make up Gnur?
It just sounds made up.
It sounds made up.
Gnur.
Come on. Please. Tom's in Aurora. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, and go Bears.
Yeah, where? Congratulations, Tom. You're a big winner. Did Tom win the tickets, or did Tom win the fact or fiction?
He won fact or fiction.
Wayne. He won fact or fiction.
Yeah, Wayne won tickets.
All right, Wayne's in tomorrow night's show. Tom, you are in for an app gift card and Lou Malnati's Pizza.
Outstanding.
Much better than the Bears did last night, pal.
You got that right. Right, go Cats.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
At 7:02, we'll come back with your headlines right after this on 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody, it's the coach. Welcome back to the Steve Cochran Show. If you're like me, you love his approach. Now let's see his departure.
That's the old ball coach. He's doing a little special announcing for us this morning. Got to the Bears last night, so he'll be on and off all morning long. Frankly, he's on and off his meds. So, Bridget Gaynor's here. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning. How are
it you? Seems like someone with your amount of power in the city of Chicago could have done something about the Bears last night.
I know. So there's like a kryptonite force field that starts at Roosevelt Road, and I guess I couldn't do anything about it.
Did you go to the game?
I did not. Mm. I went to Finn, my son's college night at
his
high school.
That was even more disturbing.
It was. I was like, so we're doing this? You think this is a good... Yeah? Really? Why not live at home? You're never going to get a better deal than you have right now. You should just stay with me.
Aww.
He doesn't see it that way.
But you really don't want him to live at home.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. Texters, Congress.
You know what? I'm going to have Dave get him into Northwestern, and then it'll be perfect. He'll be going to a good school, but he'll be close to home.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll do everything I can.
Thank you very much.
Right. He's a smart kid. He's got good grades.
Yeah. Yes.
Texters, Congress is far more disappointing than the Bears. What's more disappointing than the Bears? What's more disappointing than the Bears? 815. Trump's Sharpie drawing ability is worse than the Bears. I don't know. As disappointing as that whole thing was, that was a pretty solid circle. That freehand circle he drew on the map, that was pretty solid. 815, a theme developing here. The only thing good about the Bears, it's a distraction from the dumbassery going on in the White House. And yes, that is a word. At 717, let's get our update from you before we get too far, Bridget. Cook County?
Things are good. We just had a meeting yesterday, voted on a lot of stuff.
What'd you vote on?
Well, now there is a new rule that says if someone has a criminal record, you have to, you know, give them a second chance before you tell them they cannot rent an apartment. A lot of compelling testimony on both sides. I mean,
does it depend on what the criminal record is?
Yeah, the landlord still has some discretion, okay. You know, but it's one of those things where they're like, look, the interesting thing about it is we all believe that double jeopardy is wrong. You know, if you get convicted once, you don't get to get convicted twice. But the way it works in our system now is like if you get convicted, you get out, you can't get a job and you can't get housing. So is it, you know, is it a kind of a life sentence more than what
right.
you actually got?
Right, leads to increased recidivism.
Right, and sure. You know, one guy said, listen, a waiting period for landlords, the difference between a 3-year waiting period and a 7-year waiting period post my conviction is 4 years of homelessness. So it's... It was a good debate, but compelling stories on both sides.
Okay. What else did you do?
What else did I do yesterday? Well, the fact that the city has such a deficit is spilling over into the county. We do not have a big deficit.
Why can't you lend us some money? Why can't you just write a check
you know
to
what?
The city?
That's right. We should think of it as one big family.
That's exactly right. Why can't Cook County just say, hey, city, here's $900 million?
I mean, because it's always a good idea to loan people in your family money.
Exactly. Because that never goes bad.
So at this point, if this was a Thanksgiving dinner, is the city the drunken uncle that shows up at the party and just wants to borrow money?
No. Look, politically, the city's always the dad. That's just the way it works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the mayor's a powerful character. And
the dad spent a lot of money on the gambling. the casino?
I think it was like the dad that was there before. This is the new dad who's what did I, what? What's happening here?
And whenever there's tension, somebody screams, "You're not my real dad." That whole thing.
You know what? That might happen. But mayor's doing budget town halls. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, the problem is there's only two ways to end this story. You cut some spending or you raise some taxes. And they got to figure out some balance in between.
You know, the constant thing I hear from people, and I know you hear this as well, is why would we give you people... That'd be the elected. Why would we give you people who are so irresponsible at spending our money more money to spend?
Well, I think the thing is that we're not spending it on ourselves. No, we're not saying, like, you know what? I want a better cruise than I went on last year. It's that things get more expensive. There's cost of living increases for employees.
No, I get all that.
Yeah.
But the people that dug the $900 million hole in the city and the
Look, you didn't get there and say, okay, how do I start digging this hole deep enough so I can't get out of it? Is that prior administrations didn't necessarily do all the cutting and kind of budgeteering that they needed to be doing. And so here we are. And also, look, the pensions are a huge escalator of the debt. And
until it's dealt with, as opposed to going, oh, that's not really happening, is it? Sticking
it's how I feel
this,
about Finn going to college. Like, yeah, are we really doing this?
It's a whole denial thing. But in some way, shape, or form, every elected official needs to communicate that better to people, that there actually is a responsible way to spend the money, and it wasn't us that got you into this mess.
And I don't even like to say it wasn't us, because nobody wants to hear that excuses generally. Mm-hmm. It's just that, hey, I always do a thing that says, this is where all the money comes from, this is where it goes, which one of these things, the hospital, the jail, the court system, you know, we have to pay for all this stuff to live in a civilized society. I think a big part of it is a lot of the conversation in the last 25 years across the whole country has been, government's broken, you know, they can't really do anything right. Well, look, it does a lot of stuff right. You got up this morning, you drove on roads, or you got on a train to get here. You were safe. If you called 911, somebody came. There's a lot of those things that run well, and they cost money. And these people that work in those jobs deserve to have a good wage.
What if we had a civilian committee of everybody in your life? You know somebody who's really good with money.
Yeah.
They're very fair. They're very organized. Yeah. They pay their bills on time. They're good at money advice. Like, for instance, in my case, it's a friend of mine from high school named Paul. So if Paul were available, who would it be in your life? First names only. Somebody who's really good with money, who would be able to be on this independent three-headed civilian committee to figure out how to get us out of this mess.
This is a dilemma, though. A lot of the smartest, most reasonable people are like, yeah, I don't want anything to do with that.
Oh, I could talk Paul into it.
Could you?
Yeah, I could make Paul do it.
Yeah, it's true. That's why they're having a really hard time finding people that will run for political office. A lot of folks just don't want the headache.
So you don't want to name who your people
are? Mine would be Dawn.
Dawn?
She's great with money.
Paul, Dawn, you got one?
My sister Maureen, absolutely.
Oh, you see, now you've revealed her.
Yeah, there can be no nepotism.
I didn't
give
her phone number.
Okay, I will. John, do you have anybody in your life who's really good with money?
Oh, Jackie, my wife.
Okay.
Do you let her, she handles all the finances?
Oh, God, yeah.
That's what I need.
Okay.
A wife named Jackie.
Who doesn't need a wife?
Absolutely. I really need one desperately.
That was my mistake.
Oh, my problem would be, if I had known what I know now.
The title of your book, Who Doesn't Need a Wife?
Or if I had known then what I know now. There you go.
All right, 7:22. We'll do the MVPP coming up. Bridget's here. Paul Coit is on in the next hour. Paul's going to be live from London, and he's going to explain why Boris Johnson is just as big a disaster as Donald Trump. Dean Richards and more on entertainment, and Dan Hampton's head is scheduled to explode at 7:40. All that on the wave.
People,
here's the thing.
Can I have your attention, please, people?
The most famous.
Amazing. Just great.
So great.
Awesome.
You rock my world.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet.
Tony Memel sings. He's a singer, songwriter, a speaker, a teacher. Tony was born with one hand, taught himself to play the guitar by building a special cast he designed out of Gorilla Tape. How about that?
Wow.
That's a great commercial for Gorilla
Tape.
No
kidding. He's toured 45 states, 17 countries. His message is hard work, determination, resilience, and positivity. He's composed symphonies. He's wrote and arranged music for kids. Goes to schools, hospitals, churches. Frankly, he's better than me.
Mm-hmm. Better than all of us.
That's not a high bar. Tony grew up in Waukesha and now resides in Nashville with his wife and son. Loves basketball and swimming and hiking and cooking. Listen, this guy's got a very busy life, but he took time this morning to be the most valuable person on the planet. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
You know what's weird, Tony? I got two hands and I can't play anything.
Have you tried?
Yeah. Yeah, I just kind of suck. But you know what? I didn't stick to it, Tony. That's the deal, and that's part of your message.
It is. It's the biggest thing. It's a lot about the practice and just taking those days where you don't sound very good and taking your instrument out anyways and sitting down with it.
You must have had a very supportive family because in your situation with your particular bump in the road in your life, if you went to them and said, I really want to learn how to play the guitar, somebody must have supported you in that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. At first, they asked the question, like, are you sure this is the instrument you want to play? And the instrument I wanted was $600. I was 13 years old. So they were like, first of all, that's something we can't even afford. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to work for it, and we'll meet you halfway. So I felt like in a different kind of way, they supported me by pushing me to, almost daring me. How bad do you want this? And
that's great.
Then it was off to the races. I worked really hard to save up, and then it was building my cast that you mentioned at the beginning and just going from there.
Tony, have you upgraded that cast, or are you still using a version of Gorilla Tape?
Let me tell you this. It started very elementary. I took a guitar pick and put it on the end of my arm and wrapped scotch tape, like the clear tape, around my arm just over and over again. And so actually it evolved all the way to Gorilla Tape.
Got it.
Here's my question. How do you get the Gorilla Tape off?
You know, it's kind of like a big, sticky Gorilla Tape Band-Aid is the way I would describe it. Okay. You kind of just go fast and just bring it right off.
What's the reaction you get from folks when you're traveling around and performing for them?
I've been really fortunate, really blessed. I've had the opportunity, as you mentioned, to travel to 45 states and 17 different countries around the world. People have found hope and encouragement in my story. Sometimes they tell me that they want to reapproach an instrument that they gave up a long time ago. Steve, maybe that's something you'll think about.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, thanks for the scolding, Tony.
and you know, so those are things I take to heart, and they just keep me going from place to place and make me want to keep sharing that music and message.
Are you without a hand at the wrist, or does it go farther up your arm?
It's closer to my elbow, actually. So that was something else I was practicing, is how to train my arm to act for guitar playing like a person who had two hands would use his or her wrist and fingers to be able to maneuver a pick and strum the instrument. So I wanted it to sound so clean and so strong that you wouldn't know if you heard me on the radio if I had one hand, two hands, or three hands.
Is there anything you wouldn't take on from a guitar standpoint? Hey, man, can you shred?
I try.
What the heck? What the heck? You're an impressive dude. Listen, if people want to hire you and want to hear your message, and obviously that's benefits to them in this, we've already made you the most valuable person on the planet, but how do they follow you and get involved with you?
Well, I'm on just about every social media platform you can imagine. My name, once again, is Tony Memel. Tony spelled the usual way, and then Memel spelled like the word mammal, but with E's instead of A's. So you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TonyMemel.com.
M-E-M-M-E-L.
That's right. You got it.
Okay. And you know what? Send us a sample of the music. We'll pull something off the website, but I'd like to hear you play.
Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate that.
I appreciate you. Thanks for being on. That's the most valuable person on the planet.
If he's in Chicago, he should come on down and play.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
It'd be very cool. Headlines, or are we taking a break? We going straight to the headlines? Why don't we go to the headlines? Sponsored by Roosevelt University, and then Hamp's coming up here in a few minutes. Hold on to something. And stand by for G and Bridget's probing NFL questions.
Look at you. Look at you assuming that's a joke.
Oh, wow.
Well,
I'll be over here in the corner you just placed me in. Stand by for that.
This just in from Soldierville. They're covering up the statues. They're embarrassed now. They're going to put the tarp back on.
Yeah,
the
wait statues. A minute. You want to know who's covering them up? They came alive for 10 seconds to pull the tarp over. That's who's pulling them. That's who's covering them up. They just came back to life.
An animal.
Damn. Anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. If you're just waking up, it didn't go so well after kickoff last night. In a game that any NFL team should have been into the end, the Bears lose to the Packers 10-3. In a game that looked like, shockingly, the first preseason game that they all should have played it. Oh, sorry, I almost did an OB there. Good morning, Hant.
You know, Steve, true words never spoken, and you know, all we kept thinking about was, hey, we waited 100 years to see our team be unprepared and have the worst offensive showing and a home opener in 100 years. So all those things that, and, you know, we talked about it Monday, and we, OB and I said, hey, please, please, please do not have us come in here after the game Thursday night and start beating the table saying, hey, you were unprepared. This team was not ready to play. And guess what? For an hour and a half, that's what we did. We beat the table saying we were unprepared and not ready to play. And let me just tell you this. You know, everybody, there's a period in every player, every coach's life where they're going to start learning how to deal with success, okay? And I saw it happened to me a little bit. The year after I made my first Pro Bowl, I'm thinking, oh, I'm pretty good. I'm, you know, hot shot. And I had to kind of have a rededication. But for this to happen, for this team to not be ready to go, boy, pretty sad.
Yeah, really sad. Extremely disappointing and completely fixable. And let's be honest here, Dave. There is one reason for the preseason in the National Football League if you don't play the games. Because you can assess players in practice, especially if you're not going to play the starters. It's revenue for the teams. Yes. Revenue, that's it.
No question.
So don't play the preseason. Don't play it. Because you're stealing money from the fans to put an inferior product on the field for the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season. And by the way, there's only 16 games.
Right.
Seems like you ought to get them all right.
There was talk about adding a regular season game and doing away with the preseason. If that's what it would take to get rid of the preseason, I'd be all for that. But the players don't want to add another game, which is also understandable.
But here's the thing. You need this. Dan Hampton has said this for 100 years. You need this. You need to see players at full speed, even preseason full speed, and they need to experience that to be ready. And that's why you get the penalties you got last night and everything else. Right, Hemp?
Everything was just disjointed, and the quarterback was late on his reads, late on getting the ball out. All of a sudden, I was down on the field a quarter till six, which is way earlier than I've ever been on the field. But I was watching the receivers. They were, you know, doing their little pregame work, and they were cutting, you know, making their cuts, but they were high. They did not look to me like they were crisp. And guess what? When the game started, they were doing the same thing, and the Packer secondary was able to stay right on them. There was no, you know, nobody was getting any separation. And the reason was, when you're going through it in practice, everybody has this little self-preservation, you know, gene in their head saying, hey, you don't have to kill yourself. It's only practice. You got to do it in a game. And the offensive line, the offensive line has looked in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And this is a spot where they needed to be great. You expected them to be great. And yet, Kyle Long, you know, a fine player, he was standing up and these nobodies were going right by him and hitting the quarterback. So all those different things, you know, you can attribute it to the fact we were not ready to play because we did not do what we needed to do in the preseason as far as getting people ready to play.
And you know what? Matt Nagy needs to own it, because one of the reasons it's so disappointing Amen. Is because you know how good this team is, how good this team can be. That's why it's such a big deal. We're not talking about a 6-10 or a 4-12 Bears team. You're talking about a team with a very legitimate chance to make a run, and you can't just go out last night and lay an egg like that.
All right, but let me ask you guys this. If in a way, when you say, okay, the coach didn't play his guys in the preseason, that's why they played so poorly last night. But aren't you kind of taking the players off the hook that way? You're putting it all on this decision not to play in the preseason. And so where's the accountability for the players
here? Mr. Cat.
Yes. Yes, Mr. Hampton.
That's coaching. That's why the coaches get paid. Otherwise, the guys would be in there watching video games all day, right? I mean, the coaches who has to structure not only the preparation and practice, but, you know, putting together the game plans and all those. And here's the deal. Just this morning I had to, you know, tell little Dan, get your butt down there and take the trash down. And, you know, that's my job. Mm-hmm. And the coach's job is to say, you're going to play in the preseason game, and you're going to, I'm going to see you come off the ball, and we're going to knock people off the line of scrimmage, and you're going to do a good job in pass protection with your, you know, you're fanning down and you're not getting run by. And when I see that you're doing it the correct way, then I'll let you come out over here and we'll put in some of the backups. But until you do it the right way, until I know you're ready to go, you're not coming out of the game. That's the way Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan and coaches of great note approach this game of football.
Yeah, you know who else does it that way? Bill Belichick. But what's he ever done?
Yeah, but let me just say this. Your point a minute ago, Steve, and I said, hey, you can hang this on Nagy and his visor, okay? But here's the thing. He doesn't need to own it. He needs to apologize. He needs to apologize.
I agree.
You know, okay, the fans, we'll get over it. We'll move on. But, you know, those players, I'll promise you this. Today, Khalil Mack will walk in that locker room. He'll be embarrassed about what happened. He will be embarrassed that he played as poorly as he did. He didn't play good. And he's going to basically say to himself, I wasn't ready. I needed a coach to make the things happen for me to be ready. And you can say, well, he didn't have no training camp last year. He should have. No, I got to tell you, you know, the Packers were waiting. The Packers were prepared. We weren't. And, yeah, our defense did some good stuff. And, you know, holding Aaron Rodgers to one touchdown, that's good stuff. But guess what? No turnovers. Yeah, again, you know, it was a total team concept last year that gave us the ability to win 12 games. Well, every bit of that last night was evaporated. They're going to have to go back to ground zero and start again and start building it.
And now you got to go beat somebody you shouldn't beat. You got to go take one of those games off this very tough schedule, and you got to beat somebody in a big upset. And there will be those opportunities, but you have to now. Got to make up for
it. You kind of have to sweep the Vikings now. The way you look at the division, right? I mean, you have to find another division win somewhere that maybe you weren't necessarily counting on.
Well, everybody goes, it's only one game. Well, guess what? It's the opener. The opener is the one that sets the tempo for the rest of the season. Can you build on it? Well, there's nothing to build on. I mean, we have to reconstruct, you know, especially the offensive side. And, you know, we've been talking for 11 minutes now. We have yet to mention the quarterback's name. And there's a reason why. And so many fans, you know, they'll call in, why are you being so hard on Trubisky? We want him to be great, people. We want him to be a special player. But I don't think it's ever going to happen. But we can't afford for him to be that bad when we're in a position where we have to have something happen in a positive vein. You know, late in the game, he has to be able to put the ball on the receivers. He can't throw the interception on the corner route. So many things, you know, and I'm not going to hang it all on him. He wasn't ready. That's the thing. And guys, it's like nobody goes out and shovels snow just to do it. You do it because you got to. It's hard. It's work. But when you got to, you got to. Well, that's the same thing about football. The reads, the techniques, the timing, all that, it's hard work. We haven't paid the price. We went through it in practice with our shorts on and giving each other high fives, going, oh, yeah, we're great, we're great. Guess what? A no-name Packer defense basically embarrassed us in our biggest game, you know, and forever. So now we're behind the eight ball. We've got to find a way to, you know, get in there and start bailing. And, you know, it's almost too late to start, you know, trying to do it in practice with the timing. Now it's inherent upon the players. Well, they're going to have to do a lot of extra soul-searching and work and mental preparation trying to regain those certain techniques and fundamentals that we haven't worked on. We've got to find a way to kind of, by osmosis, get them back because, you know, nobody's going to practice hard. Nobody's going to hit. We just got to find a way to get ready. And if you don't think Vic Fangio is licking his chops after watching that offense last night, you better think again.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of incentive to go ahead and beat the Bears. I'll give you the last word here, Dave Emmett, but I think we just hit on the motto for the rest of the season. You want a clean driveway? Grab a friggin' shovel. Huh?
Yep.
There you go.
Works for
That's
me.
It. That's it. All right, last word, Dave.
Would you have liked to have seen David Montgomery get some more touches?
Absolutely. You know, here's the deal. It was a one-score game virtually the entire night, right?
Right.
Okay?
So you're not, yeah.
That is not a game that you throw the ball 75% of the time,
right.
Especially when you see your quarterback is out of sync, out of rhythm, making bad reads and poor reads, slow reads, and getting the ball out and being inaccurate. You need to run the ball. And for whatever reason, you know, twice in big circumstances where we're third and one, we're going out of the shotgun trying to incorporate a wide receiver, a tight end, in some kind of a little gadget play instead of getting up there at the line of scrimmage and knocking somebody's can off the line and getting a first down. Now you get a first down, now you can try some other things. But first things first, it was like we thought we were too cool for school to have to do all that silly work and training camp and preseason. We're just going to roll out there and wave the 100-year flag, and the Packers are going to roll over dead.
I got to tell you, maybe the most impressive part of this entire segment is that Dan got through the whole thing without cursing. Because, you know, the self-editing was very impressive.
I want to know how little Dan did taking the trash out.
Oh, I'm guessing he got it done.
Man, he got his butt down that hill and he got down there in a hurry.
Thanks, Hamp.
Thanks, Hamp.
Go Bears!
That's Dan Hampton. So, you know what it is? And Bridget, you get this with kids. It's you know the potential your kids have, and then they phone it in and get a C. That's what we're talking about here. The Bears are not a C team. They're an A team.
Well, just going back to my own childhood experience, which I have probably not done a good job at, there's not enough fear. So you do things based out of fear. I mean, maybe you do them out of encouragement, but you do them because you're too afraid of the alternative.
Amen.
My dad did a fantastic job at that. I am not doing a good a job as bringing in enough fear into my household.
No, you're absurd.
Matt Nagy, too
more.
Bad my dad is dead.
Is getting paid millions of dollars not enough?
No. He's right. You're talking about a bunch of irresponsible grown-ups who have a really cool job. You need someone to tell them what to do
and they need the mom look. You know, that look you give, like fear or respect. Yeah.
Right. It's not about incentives.
Healthy fear.
I had a feeling from the way Hamp had been talking this whole time that he kind of had this feeling inside of him.
I think he's surprised.
Really?
I think he's surprised. Let me tell you, I think he's surprised, and I think he got his Hamp feelings hurt.
He expected
more.
Well, okay. I think I was the one the other day who said,
"That's true, Dave.
Are we prepared?"
Yes.
Because everyone just assumed they were going to show up and beat the Packers.
Well, you were talking about the collective, the city as
the
a
psyche.
Whole.
That's the thing.
Last night
going to be a tough day.
The city looks so great.
Oh, uh-huh.
You didn't have somebody coming in just showing people, fat people eating pizza. You had them coming in showing how great this city is. There wasn't any bad news. It was beautiful. The whole thing. We got the statues, the sun setting over Soldier Field.
How good was Jim Cornelison last night?
Cornelison nailed it. It was all good. Yeah. And the ugliest part of the night was the game.
Listen, just consider Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett is the psychiatrist for the city.
I try.
7:55. Hey, kids. We are going to get to the news in just a second, and then we're going to come back with more on entertainment. And we'll continue. Bridget will be with us for a few more minutes as well until she makes up some excuse that she has to go to her regular job. But we always appreciate you being here. And you will be also with us on September the 27th at the Beverly Arts Center when we have our next stand-up comedy show. Still tomorrow night, metropolisarts.com. But then you will be joining us for that show. And what you don't know is we're going to pull you on stage too for something.
Well, we'll see.
That's so good.
Back with the news next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Hey, everybody, it's the coach. Welcome back to the Steve Cochran Show. A man who has diarrhea of the mouth but constipation of the brain.
That's the old coach hanging out with us this morning. Not to the disappointment of the Bears game last night. Oh, is he in a mood? I get to more on entertainment here in just a second. And I, frankly, this is Friday. Fridays, I'm out. You know, by this time, I'm pretty much done. And the people on the show have made it much more draining this morning.
Because the 16-hour work week is just grinding you down by the end of the week.
Brutal. I'm glad.
Nobody knows how hard you have it.
Nobody knows. So for that reason, you guys are going to have to talk to Dean as we do more on entertainment. You want to do more on entertainment? Let's do more on entertainment. Let's do it now.
Oh, you want me to play more music?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's continuing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't have it ready.
Steve,
I mean,
Steve,
I thought we were coming back.
Watch this. If you're streaming on video, watch what I do.
Oh, God.
All right, let me go to Dean, standing by now. Good morning, Dean.
I don't know if I can do this with the opera music.
It's Hollywood. There you go.
That's
singing
better.
It live. Dean, text question of the day. What's more disappointing than the Bears? 847, my first two marriages.
Mm.
214, the mollification of Michigan Avenue. Do we need a giant Starbucks? The world's biggest Starbucks about to open on Michigan Avenue.
All the problems in the world, and listen, that's the one that comes to your mind, mm-hmm. a big Starbucks?
I know. Everyone loves a slam of Starbucks, but sometimes you need one.
815, most disappointing thing, Trump's drawing ability is actually worse than the Bears, and he's still president. 312, Congress, 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 and so it goes. What's more disappointing than the Bears? That's the question.
Okay.
Hi, Dean.
I'll have whatever he's having today.
I'm fine. Look, you know the drill. It's Friday. You know, I'm spent.
We are
left.
Broadcasting professionals.
Yeah.
We are expected to be in top performance every single day.
Usually I run out of gas around 9:30 on a Friday. It's early
Wednesday
today.
Wednesday is when he...
I mean, it does start from the top. I mean, it's your show. I mean, you set the tone. I mean, you're the... You know what I mean? Like, you're our Matt Nagy.
So in other words, that's not a good thing.
No, she didn't.
Fighting words.
Wait, I thought you'd be happy that
that's
I
the
made
worst
that,
example you could have come up with today.
He doesn't even have a visor.
No, she's going for the Bears reference.
You know what?
Trying
I'm
to
glad
be topical.
You, no, listen, I'm glad you mentioned that. Bald guys don't wear visors. You're bald. Get a hat. Get a full hat, not
maybe
a partial
he's happy
hat.
To own his baldness.
Maybe he wants the air circulation.
Look at my head.
Well, the air circulation helps.
No.
And maybe he started wearing them before he lost
his
hair.
Here's a bulletin. You're bald. Dean, do you wear a visor?
I have not worn a visor in many years.
Should bald guys wear visors?
I don't have a problem with
that. Oh, I do.
Look, you could say that this could be a rule, which is to say, should grown men wear visors?
Why shouldn't?
Like, why should it be limited to people without hair on their head?
I have a less
it's like
of
a sweater vest.
I don't get, well, the sweater vest is very important because it's a golf thing. But the visor, I don't even understand the point of the visor. Get a full hat.
Keep the sun
just
out
invest
of your
in the entire hat.
To keep the sun out of your eyes. I have less of a problem with a visor than I do grown men wearing baseball hats backwards.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I agree
with
that.
With you there.
What are you, my mother?
It's my I love visors. Saying. They hold my hair back, but he doesn't
visors
have any, so I don't get it.
A girl in a visor is cute.
Yes,
a dude in
she's
a visor
a,
looks
she's
ridiculous.
She's a grown woman.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
it's one of those green ones and you're an accountant.
Ooh. Or but, at a poker match.
Yeah, like a poker thing
yes.
or like you're an old school accountant.
Poker thing.
Texter just rest. Dexter, so Steve, the visor was the problem?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, just if he thinks it brings him good luck, it doesn't, so change it up.
I like Matt Nagy, still. All right, so here's what's coming up. Kylie Rae Harris and
what if
Nikki-
he wore a chef's hat during the game?
Now, that would be cool. That would
I
be cool.
I don't know that any coach has ever done that.
No, that would be cool.
What about a beret? He could wear a beret.
Oh, even better.
Vince Lombardi old school fedora. That would be cool.
That would be cool. He came in a fedora last night. He had a cool look when he came in. He was kind of a salute to George Halas.
Yeah. And then Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth wore them with a little press thing in their head.
That was stupid.
Their vests.
Yeah, that was stupid.
They were in suits and they were uncomfortable.
Yeah. Kylie Rae Harris, Nicki Minaj and her giant fake boobs stuff going on this what? Weekend and a review of a movie coming up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No, not now. Not now.
Citizens of the world.
No, shut it down.
I was my fault. I cued him.
What did you say, Dean?
Oh, I was going to say if the coach stood under Nicki Minaj's boobs, he wouldn't need the visor.
Oh, that's a great point. The shade
protect him from the sun.
The shade under Nicki Minaj's giant fake boobs is tremendous.
Yeah, you get most of the defensive line under there.
Yeah, a lot of NFL games are being played in her cleavage this year.
Oh.
I mean, because you have that kind of room.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, bored.
Oh,
yeah.
My. Wow. Suddenly you turn into like the two old guys, Statler and Waldorf.
Cow.
Bored.
A lot of boob talk.
Hey, they're not mine.
Two comments. That's it. After that, it's too much.
Even Mary said something.
All right. She said two.
Hey, could you come to the show tomorrow? Could you come to the show tomorrow night and after every punchline just go? That'd be swell. 8:19. We're going to come back with the stuff that Dean does. I'm going to be in a nap position while he does it. And, you know who you are.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
All right, back to Dean now.
Top.
Kylie Rae Harris, this kid was an upcoming star, right?
Yeah, 30 years old, rising country singer, very popular, very nice, from what I understand. I've never interviewed her myself.
Yeah, never met her.
People have told me what a nice person that she was. She was driving in New Mexico yesterday and was killed in a car accident.
Awful story.
Very sad. She leaves a little daughter, I believe. Ah. She's about 8 or 9 years old, something like that.
God, awful.
So it's a horrible tragedy. Everybody is, you know, responding in a very positive way.
Is this she don't know an injured, or we don't know really the details?
As far as I know, there were no other people in the vehicle in which the accident took place. So sad about that.
Yeah, it's awful.
It was. I follow her on Instagram, and her last Instagram story while she was traveling was her being very emotional, talking about her family and traveling with her dad. So it was just very bizarre to just a coincidence that her. Yeah,
whole thing just a terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible,
well, don't you believe that we all have sort of shadows of things to come when it comes to that? I mean, I do. I believe that, you know.
Like, what do you mean?
Before you die. Yeah, before you die, you have some sense of that.
You have an inkling?
Yeah. I mean, you may not go, I'm going to die Tuesday.
So I'm going to get my, I'm going to say something profound right now.
Why, are you planning on dying soon?
Well, have you heard my show?
No, you're not going anywhere. All right, Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj makes a shocking announcement yesterday, just out of nowhere. She tweets, I have decided to retire and have my family. I know you guys are happy now. To my fans, keep repping me. Do it till the death of me. In the box, 'cause ain't nobody checking me.
You know what? You read that like you were channeling her. I mean, that was tremendous.
My former life as a rapper is coming handy in this case. But apparently,
is she pregnant?
No, well, no. Not that we know. It's just she has decided to end her career. End her career and have a family life.
I'm guessing this is going to last.
Anna Balavala's here today, by the way.
I'm guessing this is going to last till about October 1st.
She's usually quiet like a mouse. So.
Yeah. Yes, tell her hello from us.
Steve says hello, Anna.
Hi, Steve.
It's Anna Balavala. What's going on this weekend?
Well, we've got a lot of stuff going on. A ton of concerts going on, and I just happen to have them just right out of my reach.
Good. Here we go. This is the ton of concerts going on.
Here are the ton of concerts. Reba McEntire is at the Horseshoe Casino in Hammond tonight.
Delightful lady.
Very, very delightful. You know the singer Glenn Hansard? He sang the song Falling Slowly in the musical Once. He won an Academy Award.
Yeah, no, I don't know
for that. He's at the Chicago Theater.
Love
tonight.
That song. Mm-hmm. So romantic.
The Rockers Bush and Live are both performing at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park tonight.
Yeah, I'm opening for
Bush or Live.
Just the door to the dressing room.
Oh, you're opening the door for them.
Yes.
Well, that's nice. Mm-hmm. R&B legend Brian McKnight. At the City One.
Oh, he's great.
He is good.
He's so great.
Have you ever heard him?
Yeah, heard him. Yeah, I've interviewed him. I love him.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
You know the song One? Oh, it's great. Make you cry.
By the way, Steve is checked out for today, by the way.
One, you're like a dream come true.
On the web, we'll just edit.
Two, I only want to be with you.
Edit his parts out.
Three, it's later. Strange to see. But you're the biggest part of me.
Biggest part of me.
You know the song, very good.
I do. Yeah. Buddy Guy's at the Arcata in St. Charles tonight, by the way. Also.
Oh, that's going to be a great show.
When I think of Buddy Guy, I think St. Charles. I get it. It's
that's
like,
right.
Totally
the
goes together.
Mean streets of St. Charles.
ZZ Top.
I was in a high-priced cul-de-sac.
ZZ Top's at the Hollywood Casino in Tinley Park tomorrow. They're actually going to clear out the entire lawn just to make room for their beards.
Right, what do they look like now? I haven't seen those guys
exactly
in a long time.
Exactly the same.
Is that right? Are we sure it's the same guys?
We're not sure they're the same guys. They're three,
bearded individuals.
Older to middle-aged guys with incredibly long beards.
They could literally be their own sons, right?
Yeah. Yeah, all you got to do is have a long beard. Here's how you can tell, though. This is the experienced entertainment journalist in me. You reach into the beard, and if you find some memorabilia in there from the late 70s, you know it's the original guys. find ticket stubs to American Gigolo in there, and then you know it's the real deal.
Very nice.
Kravitz is at Ravinia tomorrow, and then Sunday, Kesha is at the Ravinia Sunday night.
Did I ever tell you that I drove Lenny Kravitz to the airport?
Did you really?
Yeah, we were both staying at the same hotel in L.A., and his car didn't show up.
What was that like?
He's a very nice guy. Very nice guy.
Interviewed him a couple of times. I've enjoyed
talking. He did not tip.
But you weren't really a driver, though, were you?
Just no, we were just going to the airport. We struck up a conversation, and he had been on the radio with me.
Steve was the prototype for Uber.
And anybody that knows me will be shocked to hear this. I had to clear off the passenger seat so they could actually get Lenny Kravitz and his guitar in.
Josh Wolf is doing comedy at the Zanies in Old Town tonight.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Rosemont tomorrow night. Tommy Davidson is at the Improv in Schaumburg all weekend long. Any other comedy shows going on this weekend?
Tomorrow night, Dean, and I don't know these people, but I'm told they're good, at the Metropolis Arts Center in beautiful Arlington Heights, metropolisarts.com, 847-577-2121. John DeCoste, Tim Benker, and Steve Cochran will be doing stand-up comedy live.
It should be moderately entertaining.
That's the title
of
the tour.
No, that's it. That's
that is the title of the tour. Moderately entertaining.
Moderately entertaining. Steve, also on Sunday, Anna Belaval.
Anna Belaval!
And I and others from WGN, Sean Lewis and Dan Ponce, right?
Okay.
Is that right? We're all going to be on the WGN float in the Mexican Independence Day Parade. Goes down 26th Street from Albany to Costner, and there's lots of music and food and fun and dance.
A lot of people don't know Dean does not go home between Memorial Day and October 1st. He just waits for another parade.
Not if there's a parade to be in. Not if there's a parade to be in. I don't. That's exactly.
You got to do at least 5 or 6 parades a summer.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
they're fun though. They're fun. We're very much looking forward to being in the Mexican Independence Day Parade on Sunday. That should be lots of fun.
Well, when I think independence in Mexico, I think you. Movie review?
This It movie is out. It Chapter 2. Did you see the one from a couple of years ago?
Stupid.
No, I actually thought the one from 2 years ago was kind of scary. This is with Pennywise, the scary clown.
If I want to be scared, I'll think about people that used to run this radio station. I don't need to go to a movie.
You know, I think about people who run this country. You don't even have to.
There you go.
Okay.
I brought my niece and nephew. They were 4 and 5. That was probably a mistake.
Do you know, seriously, when they re-released The Exorcist?
Uh-huh.
I forget when it was, but they added new footage and re-released The Exorcist in the theater. Seriously, people brought little kids, 4, 5, 6 years old.
That's ridiculous.
To see The Exorcist. I couldn't believe
it. Ridiculous.
I mean, there is a baby in it, so maybe they thought they'd identify with the baby.
This new movie.
Wait, was it the animated Exorcist or the real live action?
No,
live action.
It wasn't the one with Bugs Bunny and Reagan. Nope, it was the real one. Green pea soup and all.
Yes.
So this new movie, It, now Chapter 2, the first movie was based on the first half of Stephen King's novel. This movie is based on the second half of it. Steve, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes long. A movie like this should not be nearly 3 hours long.
No. Scare the crap out of you, send you home.
They threw so much stuff into this movie and diluted it and distracted it. I was very disappointed in the whole thing, and I wound up just giving it Dean's List B, a D, rather. A D. Very disappointed.
That's the kind of thing that gets you haunted.
But
even just talking about this movie scares me, so let's just move it along.
Yeah, people get creeped out from it. So let me move along, because I want to tell you about a documentary that's opening today that I loved. It's about Linda Ronstadt.
Oh.
Linda Ronstadt made her last concert appearance in 2009. That's when she revealed that she has Parkinson's disease that has now left her unable to sing. She can speak, but she can't sing. This woman is described in the movie by Bonnie Raitt as she was the Beyonce of her day.
No question.
100 million albums, 19 gold albums, 14 platinum, 7 multi-platinum, 11 Grammy Awards, the National Medal of Arts, a Kennedy Center honor.
Smoking hot and unbelievably talented. Pretty good combo.
Beautiful, beautiful voice. This documentary tells her story from being a little girl growing up in Tucson, Arizona, through her amazing career. And now, it doesn't dwell on her illness. The only reason that she agreed to do this is that she didn't want to dwell on it. Like, oh, you know, one of her songs is "Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me." She didn't want this documentary to be that. So they refer to her illness, but don't dwell on it. It's really a celebration of one of rock's first ladies, really. I loved it.
She discovered the Eagles. Don Henley and Glenn Frey played in her band.
They were in her band, and J.D. Souther and Jackson Browne, and you know, lots of people who went on to enormously successful careers.
First concert I ever saw, Linda Ronstadt.
Really?
Yeah, Linda Ronstadt. Imagine this, 16-year-old dude, Linda Ronstadt comes out in a cheerleader's outfit. You wonder why I'm a problem?
Hello.
Wonder why I'm warped?
Hello.
I was bored.
In this... And she didn't even do any cheers.
I did.
She they show a lot of concert footage in this documentary, but in one of them, she's in concert wearing a little Boy Scout uniform.
Oh, is that right?
Little Boy Scout uniform, little shorts. I would have stayed in Boy Scouts much longer if that was like that back in the day.
What a great voice, dude.
It's a really good documentary.
Right, cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice is what it's called.
Yeah, on Sunday?
Yes, we are. We're going to have the cast of the new show from the Paramount Arts Center, Newsies, going to stop in and perform for us.
Okay. I'm going to that premiere. What is that? Next Friday, I think.
That is next Friday.
Yeah. I'll see you there.
Look at you, first nighter.
I'm telling you, I get out so much. It's unbelievable. That's
Dean. Do you still do that thing when you go to the theater that you don't? You insist that all the rows... in front of you, to the sides of you, and in back of you are cleared out because you don't want people near you.
Yeah. 5 rows in any direction.
Yeah. Just kind of to make sure.
You know, it's kind of a subtle thing. Yeah. And then what I do is I show up, I get the press goodie bag, and I leave right after the start of the show, and I make a scene when I do.
Yeah. I said red M&Ms.
All right, have a good day.
See you guys.
That's Dean. We're coming back in just a moment with Paul Coit. Paul Coit live from London. Now, I need you to talk Brexit with Paul Coit.
By you mean me?
Yeah, because I don't know if I told you. I'm out.
All right. I'm up for it.
I refuse to do this, Mr. Speaker, and it's clear that there is therefore only one way forward for the country. The House has voted repeatedly to leave the EU, and yet it has also voted repeatedly to delay leaving.
The great Paul Coit will join us in a second. All right, so Bridget Gaynor, you're not just a Cook County board big shot. You got a high-pressure big shot job at an international corporation. I don't want to say which one, but it rhymes with Aon. So can you explain the impact on international business as this Brexit thing continues to blow up?
So, look, anytime business, like any other person, wants stability. And so every time you have something where no one knows what's going to happen next, it makes you, you know, you invest less, you take less risks, you know, and that's bad for the economy because you're not growing. And just like a natural disaster, like a hurricane, the people that suffer the most are often the people that make the least money and have the least secure employment because nobody's trying to create new jobs in the economy. And so I think in the UK, the biggest problem is, you know, they voted 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago to separate from the UK or from the EU. And the idea was, okay, you'll figure out a plan, you'll determine how it's going, because think about it, there's treaties, there's trade agreements,
there's
all these
things
that allow people to do business with each other. How do you go from border to border? This whole issue of, you know, they're going to separate from the EU and be a separate country, and that's all great, but what happens to Ireland? Because 6 counties in Ireland in the north are still part of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So do you reset up, do you go back to the old terrible Civil War times and set up armed, you know, checkpoints so people can go through customs? I mean, there's so many bad outcomes, and the problem is in 2.5 years, no one has been a grown-up enough to think about what they're actually going to do.
And now their version of Donald Trump is in charge.
Yeah, Boris Johnson's in charge. And he's just one other version of a guy who, you know, grew up wealthy, went to a, you know, Eton, the fancy boarding school. Life's always going to be fine for these guys. Like, they don't have to worry about what happens when it all falls apart, because it's never really going to fall apart for them. So you can be reckless.
Let's go live to London, where Paul Coit is standing by. I assume he's at Parliament right now. Either that or he's back at his house in his underpants. Good morning, Paul.
Steve, good morning. It's not only the country's unstable, I'm even more unstable, just to let you know.
All right, well, that seems fine. All right, so, Paul, yeah. I worry, because you know how much I love your family. Oh, and you as well.
Yeah, bless you. Thank you.
By the way, there's a video floating around. It's probably Instagram. I'm trying to think of where it is. But it's a shot of your son, Harry, yes. And it's Harry interviewing a major soccer star, football star, and it's your reaction, not knowing it was going to pop up on one of the monitors behind you. It's a very cool thing.
Yeah. My son's called Joe, by the way, to start with.
What did I say?
Harry.
Harry, yeah.
Which one's the royal? Okay. Is it your son, or which one's the royal? Is it your son or the other one?
No, this is not the royal. This is my son. I know it's very easy to confuse being with the royal family, but yes, that's a fact. He appeared on TV interviewing a Tottenham Hotspur player, and I didn't know it was going to appear on TV while I was on the air. So unprofessionally, I just went, oh my God. That was what that was.
By the way, your studios look fantastic. We have great studios here, but your studios look amazing.
Thank you very much. Have you got a studio in me already? Have you? You've got a new place?
No. You can't touch our studios. Our studios are tremendous here at 303 East Wacker. But the Talk Sport 2 studios look amazing as well. All right, so anyway, the UK is screwed. Is that our summation?
Yeah, I think so, to be honest with you. I've been trying to think of another way of it, but I think we're in all sorts of trouble. There's so much stuff which is going under the surface, and what's interesting is that you know that when things start getting political, I usually step away and then start getting confused. That usually happens at a general election. And at this point, we are having political experts that are now coming on TV going, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know what's going on. What are you coming to me for? So it's all very, very confusing. And we're thinking of joining up with Canada and see how things turn out.
That seems safe. Now, there's a weird thing that could happen here, as I understand it. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Queen could actually save all of this. There's a royal piece of this that she has to approve beyond what she's already approved. She could actually save all of this by interceding. Is that going to happen?
Or intervening? Wouldn't that be hilarious? There's a bit of history that I do know. Charles I, this is way back in the 1600s, was executed because what he did by royal proclamation, he ruled government. He was in charge of the government. So whatever said, it had to go to the king, and he could decide anything. So anyway, he was executed. We're looking like 400 years ago. Uh-huh. So then Oliver Cromwell comes in, and from then on, the government decides its own business, but the monarch has to just sign it off. It's just a ceremonial thing. But if it's not signed off, then it can't become a law. So maybe in her years, at the age of 93, the Queen can actually stand up and go, enough of this. We're staying in Europe. I'm not signing anything. There's not going to be any election. There's not going to be anything. And I'd just like her to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to run this thing. And I think that may well happen. How exciting would that
be? Well, that would be tremendous, because wouldn't it be great and totally appropriate for the Queen to go, I have had just about enough out of you. And she steps in as any mother, grandmother would do to fix it.
Exactly. Boris says, who the hell do you think you are with your crazy hair and your posh voice swanning around all over the place, thinking you own the place? The only reason you want to do this is become Prime Minister, just so you can rule. Well, listen here, mister, it ends right now. And I think that's
so
probably
great.
What the Queen will do.
And go to your room.
A posh accent.
It would be so great. It would be so great. I really do hope that happens.
I think so.
So should we worry about you? Or are you going to be okay? Because I don't know if you heard, we got some crap going on here that you're not going to believe.
Oh, have you? You've got a bit of a problem as well. Well, come with us to Canada. We'll all go together. You know, we could all live somewhere high up in a mountain. I don't know. But it's a bit worrying. It seems to go on and go on. A lot of people say, well, let's just get out. And people say, well, we can't get out without a deal. How can we get out without a deal? We're just going to be completely stamped on. And then there's the other side that say, we don't want to be out of Europe at all. And nobody seems to be able to deal with this. And Boris Johnson said, well, let's call a general election. If you're not going to agree with me, I want a general election. Where if you've got Labour and Jeremy Corbyn, who's been calling for elections, he's called for an election 50 times in the Yarsi line. last year, is now going, no, we don't want one yet because there's so much nonsense that's going under, just flying underneath what's actually going on. And I just wish I'd seen the last series of The West Wing, and it would have helped me understand just a little bit more.
That's right. The West Wing would have saved you. The amazing thing, and we were talking about this off the air and on the air, I salute you, and Bridget, I think you agree. I salute your conservative party for actually standing up enough to care about your country to tell Boris Johnson, no, you're not going to have your way. Because the Republican Party, the conservative party in this country, has hidden like the scaredy cats that they are and not said a word.
Sometimes it's just a worry. And I think in politics, the agenda really with so many people is their own, not what they're supposed to be doing, which is looking after everybody else. And I think so much of that seems to be coming down to that at the moment. And he's just expelled everybody that if you disagree, well, then you're out. And it's just, can you come and save us for crying out loud? Give me some help here.
You know, if Boris Johnson pulls out a Sharpie, we're going to know it's over. That's what it's really going to be bad. Listen, please give a hug to your family and tell your son Joe and his good friend Harry that I said hello. And thank you for being on, as always. And I thought between you and Bridget, we now have a better understanding of this.
Well, with Bridget, not with me. Thank goodness for Bridget. That's all I got to say. That's my buzzword.
That's
for
how we're
going
to wrap
thank
up, then.
Thank goodness for Bridget.
All right, that's a good out. All right, buddy, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Paul Coit. Talk Sport 2. In London. I certainly hope he doesn't tell Joe I called him Harry.
It's something tells me he's already forgotten about it.
Not gonna be we'll come back. I should have asked him one last question. The texter wants to know what a posh accent is.
It's kind of upper class.
Yeah. You know. Like an elite.
Oh, wait, Steve's doing one. Steve, can I hear that again?
You know how he goes, ho, 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 that kind of sound, you know?
Again, it's almost like you're channeling an old Englishman.
Almost.
Yeah. Bridget, thank you for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
And your weekend?
Yeah. Well, Misericordia Family Fest on Sunday. Uh-huh. Everyone should go up on Devon and Ridge. Uh-huh. So they're out there all day, games, and obviously it raises money for Misericordia, which is all good.
Fabulous.
All good. Sleepover with a bunch of girls. Mary's friends coming over tonight. So 4, 5, 6th grade girls in my house tonight. So what could go wrong?
No.
So that's great.
That's great.
Finn's grounded, so he and I are going to have some awesome quality time
what
together, which
do?
I know he's excited about. No, I'm not going to talk about that.
Okay.
But
I want the scoop.
I know he's excited to hang out with his mom.
No question.
Because I think he got in trouble just because it was like a little bit awkward for him to say, can I just hang with you on Friday night?
Probably.
Yeah.
He probably wanted to.
So he just wanted, it was like a bank shot to hang out.
Yeah. He just didn't know how to say it.
He did.
Yeah. And since your Saturday night's open, we'll see you in Arlington Heights.
That's right.
All right. Thank you. And we'll come back in a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show all-time top 10. Anything by Stevie Wonder is in the top 10.
It's pretty good.
Helpful texter from the 847. Posh was a stamp on tickets for ocean vessels going to England, so the persons would always have a sunny exposure on their berth. You would be port left side outbound and starboard right side going home. The posh stamp on the ticket was high-end accommodations. So that's where the word posh comes from. Aren't you fascinated? Anyone?
I'd rather just hear the accent.
Anyone?
Yeah. Bueller? I'd rather have Grisanna chew the accent again.
Try to educate you people. Look where it gets me.
Yeah.
6-year-old texter said, if it works in England, could we have the Queen here take care of Trump? And Steve, would you do the voice? Hell, I've had just about enough of you.
Classic.
John, let's do this. Let's give away another pair of tickets for tomorrow night's show. Why don't you tell me about this show?
It's going to be at the Metropolis Theater in downtown Arlington Heights.
You say it's going to be at the Metropolis Theater in downtown Arlington Heights. You're saying tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, 7:30.
All right, then.
And you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Tim Banker will be there.
Now, will we all be funny?
Oh, well, yeah.
Okay, good. We'll all be funny. Good.
It's the point of a stand-up show.
Sure, we should be funny then.
And I will sing. I'm going to actually sing some songs. I think I'll...
As requested.
As musical director of the show.
312-981-7200 is the number if you play Fact or Fiction and win. Now, if you want tickets, we're giving away a pair now. You're a cheapskate. I understand. You want tickets for free from me. We'll give you a pair of tickets right now. 312-981-7200. But you must win Fact or Fiction. So, two-parter here. First, you have to want to go.
Yep.
Secondly, you have to be able to go. Third, you have to win Fact or Fiction.
And, you know, the theater, that's such a nice, beautiful theater. We love the Metropolis. And they're really good to us, and it's a great place to see comedy because you know that stage.
That's a great
thing. It's not a bad seat in the house.
You know, when I got fired in 2010, you remember I got fired?
Yes.
That's the first show I booked.
That night, we had a stand-up show.
Yeah.
And I announced I had been fired from the stage.
Yeah. We ended the show, and that's how...
And there was open weeping and gnashing.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you cried.
No, well, the audience did.
Oh, really?
Oh, they were beside themselves.
Mm.
They were. It was kind of interesting.
What do they say? You're never in show business until you've been fired?
Well, that means I'm really in show business. Annette is with us. Annette's in Belvedere. All right, Annette, you want to go to the show tomorrow night? All you have to do is win Fact or Fiction.
Okay. Yes, I can do that.
Okay.
Here you go, Annette. Fact or Fiction. Captain Crunch's full name is Captain Horatio Magellan Crunch.
Horatio Magellan Crunch. I know the answer to this.
You do?
Uh-huh.
You just happen to have it in your back stock.
No, I served with Captain Crunch.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was your name?
I was Admiral Steve.
What do you serve with Captain Crunch?
Generally a white. Yeah, a white. Not
I
red,
prefer
yeah.
Captain Crunch with the berries.
The Crunch berries?
Yeah, like the berries added. Yeah. Otherwise, it's kind of plain.
By the way, I will say, if you develop Crunch berries, get to a clinic as fast as you possibly can. Yeah, there's no question. All right, Annette, you're busy. You've had enough of this nonsense. Is that fact or fiction?
No, it's fine. I prefer my Crunch straight. So, but I do believe the name is correct.
That's a fact.
That is a fact. Very good.
All right, Annette, you're going to the show. Congratulations. Your tickets.
Thank you.
You're going to the show. We'll see you tomorrow night. Make sure you say hi. That's Annette.
Big one. How great was that?
How about one more? Give me one more.
Was good. You got it. Okay. Let's see. More Monopoly money is printed each year than U.S. currency.
Ooh, I'm going to say...
Fact or fiction?
Fiction.
Okay. Fiction? Okay. Fiction.
Steve?
I'm going to say that is fiction.
Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes. Fact.
Fact?
Yes.
Dave?
I say fiction.
I see neither.
You have to pick.
I think it's a fact.
It is a fact.
Yay!
And it's not even close. The U.S. makes $974 million in paper money. Monopoly makes $30 billion in paper money.
Isn't it amazing that the United States, I mean, obviously the money in circulation stays in circulation until it doesn't, but the fact that we only make a little under $1 billion new dollars a year.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah. It just stays in circulation for so long.
It's totally random, but once I did see a show talking about counterfeiters that did it by hand, and it passed. They were able to pass off the dollars, and they did it by hand.
Well, but all they have to do is make an orange one, a yellow one, a blue one.
No, this wasn't a Monopoly counterfeit. This is actually U.S.
Okay.
currency.
Got it.
Don't they have a different Parker brother for each color?
Michael Yeo's coming up. Michael Yeo is co-host of The Insider on CBS. He's got a project coming up he wants to talk about. And Kevin Powell's coming up. Kevin and Dave will try to get me off the ledge with the Bears.
No, I don't think that's possible.
Well, we'll find out. Coach?
Hey, everybody. It's the Coach. Welcome back to the Steve Cochran Show. Don't blame him. His family tree was a wreath.
It went in a circle. It was inbreeding.
Oh, my God.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Do I have to repeat it, Mr. Edit?
There's a lot of anger. Sorry, coach. A lot of anger after the Bears last night. A lot of disappointment. But, man, the city looked great, didn't it?
Looked terrific.
Yeah. Made me wish I worked and lived here. Hey, wait a minute. Hey. Later on this hour, Kevin Powell and Dave Ennett will try to explain to me why I should have any faith in the Bears for the rest of the year. Isn't it great after one game I'm giving up?
You're the one who said they're going to be okay. You said that at 6:10 this morning.
Look, when's hockey season start? Let's get on with the Blackhawks.
Well, so that's pretty good. Like next weekend, training camp.
Yeah. Well, I'll be at Training Camp Festival.
Oh, you will be? I like how you will.
Next Sunday.
About
that.
Canada, yeah.
Sunday the 15th.
Yeah, I think I'm doing a show there.
And then after that, the Bears play the Broncos.
Is that the Sunday night game?
No, it's 3:25.
Okay. Vic Fangio got a lot of incentive to beat the Bears.
She sure does.
You know what you don't want to do? You don't want to start 0-2.
No, you don't.
0-2 is a problem.
It would be a big problem.
Yeah. I want to talk to Michael Yo. Michael, make me happy. Don't you think Michael make me happy?
Yep.
Boy, that's a lot of pressure. Michael Yo, just in town. I don't know if you saw him or not, but he's touring the country. He's got a national stand-up tour situation. He's got a great website, by the way, michaelyo.com.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. How'd you guys only score 3 points last night? Seriously?
And we're out of time. Yeah, no, that was miserable. That was absolutely miserable. And you're exactly right. I don't know. And you know what?
I don't know. This is a professional football team. Like, they're pros. And they only scored 3 points. That was amazing.
3 points should be a starter kit.
It should be.
Yeah.
Like I could kick a field goal. You know what I mean?
Right. Three points. Okay. 3 points is it. And you hold Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers to 10 and you can't beat them. Ugh, now look what you've done. Oh. Look what you've done.
The score
now.
Of the Cubs game was bet higher.
Was
than
it?
Game. It was 10 to 5.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, that's funny. So, Michael, I wish you were busier. Let's go over this for a second. Podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Stand up, co-host of The Insider. He babysits kids on the weekend. He drives an Uber. The dude never stops.
I'm Jamaican, half Jamaican, I guess. I got 16 jobs. That's what I do. I like to say busy. I'm actually in Miami right now performing this weekend here. So crazy. I'm all over the place.
What club are you at in Miami?
Miami Improv.
Okay. Yeah, it's a nice room.
And last week or 2 weeks ago, I was at the Chicago Improv, and they had me up in Schaumburg.
Yeah.
So there wasn't much to do. I stayed at the mall pretty much all day.
Yeah, well, that really is the comedian's rite of passage. You know, you've got 23 hours a day to walk around a mall. But it's it's different than it used to be, though, right, Michael? Because malls aren't what they used to be. So you used to be able to easily kill an entire day at a mall. I think it's probably getting harder.
Yeah, there's not much, you know, because it's just... It's not fun anymore, you know, especially when you're not younger anymore. Younger, you used to hang at the mall, you hang with your friends. Now you're just an old man walking through the mall, and that's kind of, like, not fun.
Yeah, you're kind of creepy.
You know?
You're a little bit creepy.
Yeah, I'm the creepy dude at the mall.
Nobody wants
walking
that.
Around for no reason.
Gee, say hi to Michael Yo.
Hi, Michael Yo.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
I'm great. You know what? One thing that I love about what you do is that you are repping biracial folks out there with your awesome comedy.
Thank you.
Explain to people what Blasian means.
Okay, so Blasian, I have a free special you can watch it on Amazon Prime. It's Black and Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what Blasian means, and I grew up in an all-white neighborhood in Houston, Texas, so I was like the only one of me around. So I talk about my experience in that. I talk about me being Black and Asian. I'm married to a white woman, so that means our kid is white, Black, and Asian. We gave birth to a panda. That's what we call our son. He's a panda. So I just talk about diversity in a fun way and my experience with it. So that's what Blasian means, and that's what the special is. So it's no politics. I don't bring politics into it. It's just fun stand-up comedy.
Well, you and I have something in common. We both have Korean mothers.
I'm sorry.
How does she react to your comedy about her?
Oh, my mom hates it. But she likes it at the same time. You know, a Korean mom, don't do that on stage. And then after everybody laughs and they're a celebrity afterwards, they're like, oh, you can do that. Okay, I say okay. You know, mom, just like your mom, how crazy is Korean moms how they're honest all the time?
So crazy. She's Michael, don't do that. Oh, that's okay, honey. That's okay. It's funny. It's funny.
Okay.
People like
that's
it.
Okay.
People, yeah, funny. It's funny.
It's so true. Like, our Asian moms, our Korean moms, I tell it to everybody. They speak the truth. They have no filter. They don't care if it sounds racist or racial. They just say it. And now, like, I'm watching my mom as a grandmother now, and she's the same with my kid. I'm sitting there with my kid going, you're the best. You know, I'm encouraging him.
And my mom walks by and goes, how you know he the best? Why are you lying to him?
That is so Asian.
It's much too early to tell.
Yes.
It's so Asian. So Asian.
Yes.
Like, my mom is ruthless. Like, it's so hard with an Asian mom.
And how old
my mom's name? Go ahead.
I was going to say, how old's your little boy?
2 and a half. And my mom's talking like this to a 2 and a half girl.
Yes. It's
dramatic.
The plight of all of us.
What was your mom's name? What's your mom's name?
Her name is Kyung He. Kyung He.
See, my mom's name is K-U-M. So think about that.
That's troubling.
Growing up with a mom.
Yeah, that's troubling. That's the kind of thing that'll keep you out of America.
Yeah.
Hey, go, Mom, it would benefit all of us if we moved to America, but based on your name, we're not leaving.
No, it was horrible. It's horrible.
Do you feature your wife in your act at all? Because really, she's in charge.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm working her in. She's more shy, and since I live with her and we live together, she's the one that always like, don't say that, don't say that. I talk about our wedding night, and you know, like, she'll let me talk about a little, but I can't really go into it deep with her yet, because you know I gotta go home. You know, you can't do that when you gotta go home.
It is tough though, and John DeCosta is here. John's a nationally touring comedian as well. He's a musical director of the show. John, you can speak to this as well, even though you and Jackie have been married forever.
Yes.
It's tough when you have a piece of material and it's a lightning bolt and you go, this is going to be so good. But you know you may not get approval for it from the tower. That's not easy.
No, it's actually, and I've never gotten approval for it.
Okay.
We've been married 34 years. I've never done it, Michael. It doesn't work.
How long into your relationship did you wait to do it, or did you do it right away?
No, we've been married 34 years. I've been doing comedy 37 years. So,
and you're still waiting to do
the first joke about Jackie.
That's how afraid he is.
Yeah.
So, Michael, I don't want your dad to get jealous. So tell us a little bit about your dad. Is he supportive of your comedy career?
Oh, he loves it. It's weird that after he saw me do stand-up, because my dad, as a black dude, went through segregation, has a PhD in nuclear physics.
Wow.
Like, he's a nerd. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but after I started stand-up, I think he felt like he missed out on a part of his life, because my personality does come from him. So now he's like, he just turned 75, and he's going to, like, he's dancing. We went on cruise ships, and he's dancing till like 3, 4 a.m. Like, it's a different dad. It's like really crazy. My dad's crazy now.
You have to rein him in. Feel like you got to keep an eye on him, rein him in.
This is a true story. I wanted, the first time I told my wife I loved her, I wanted to make it special. So it was on New Year's Eve, and we were in Hawaii with my parents on a boat, fireworks going off. I say, I love you. I give her a big kiss. I look over. My dad is grinding on a pole going, that's the way you do it, son. That's the way you do it. True story. Sweating, grinding on a pole, and my mom.
That's the kind of thing to get you in therapy.
Yeah. Like, my mom can't handle it anymore. Like, my dad, it's just, he's lost it. Like, he roasted me at one of my comedy shows.
Right?
I invited him. He got on stage and roasted. Like,
well,
I think there's this resurgence. It's great.
You know what? It could be the meds. You know what? You know what you ought to do is just walk by and set it up with your dad. Just walk by your dad and go, Dad, you're the best. You're the best there ever was.
Right.
And just see if your mom's head explodes.
Oh, my mom's going to say something racist that I can't say on your show. My mom's very racist. It's so weird. It's so weird. My mom is racist against black people but married a black man. It's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest
selectively
thing.
Selectively racist. It's a selective racist.
Yeah. It's her observation.
Yeah. Racism when it benefits her.
She just doesn't have a filter, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah.
She doesn't. Yeah, the funniest thing is my mom, you know, I grew up with these gangster black movies like Menace Society, Boys in the Hood, movies like that.
Sure.
So my mom, that's all I grew up watching. So my mom thought every black kid was a thug. And I go, and she wouldn't let me play with black kids if they were around. I go, Mom, this is ridiculous. You married a black man, and I can't play with black kids. My mom looks me in the eye and goes, your dad no black. He had PhD.
Wow.
Because it's all about status.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That is wild.
And that's my mom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Latin, Asian.
Oh,
my mom will talk about you.
She would find something wrong with every race.
Okay, so here's my concern for you, because I'm a grandparent now. I got a 3.5-year-old granddaughter and a brand new little 1-month-old grandbaby boy, so it's fantastic. But in your case, how much heat are you getting from your wife saying, we can never leave him alone with your mom? We could never leave him alone with your mom.
What are you talking about, Mama? I tell my wife that. Like, my parents are 70 and 75. Like, here's what's sad. I trust her parents more with our kids than my parents. My parents might just leave the house and forget if they were babysitting the kid. Like, I don't trust my parents at all with my kids. My wife trusts my parents more. I just can't handle it. And I don't want my parents, because my parents are affectionate, but they're really not. They're different. They're old school. They're not sensitive. They're like, you know, if the baby cries, it just cries. That's what they do. You know, like, that's how my parents are.
That'll stop eventually.
Yeah. No, that's them. So I would never, never in 100 years leave my parents alone.
What a sweet way to end this. It's MichaelYo.com. It's a great website for a guy that's really getting it done. He's killing it all over. Hey, congrats on being a dad, number one, but it's a great hustle you're pulling off, and I salute you for it.
Hey, I appreciate the time, guys. Thank you so much.
See you later. That was a good dude, huh?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Would not leave his own son with his own parents.
No.
I've done that Miami Improv. It's huge. It's enormous.
Is it in Miami itself?
It's in Miami itself, and it's actually too big.
I did it a few times, a club in Fort Lauderdale. But I felt like it had one of those names like Crackers or Giggles or Guffaws or Yuck Yucks, that kind of thing.
Question for
Could
you.
Could have been Crackers.
Yeah.
Could
Question crackers. For you. Would Ross leave Abigail Grace and Isaac Shepherd with you?
Yeah.
Alone?
Yeah. Yeah,
you with the two of them alone?
No, it's funny. As Maureen told me the other day that they were both surprised how good I am with the kids. And, you know, I want to look at Ross and go, and yet you're alive. Isn't it so odd that you actually were able to survive me?
I mean, just you by yourself without Maureen.
Yeah, I would not want to have both of them until Isaac gets a little older, because it's an easy out for me. I spent, for the past, 2.5-3 years, I've been doing Monday afternoons with Abigail.
How old does Isaac have to be till
16? It's 9:27. We're back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Third and 10. Trubisky to the end zone, and it's going to be picked off. It's Adrian Amos who comes back to haunt his old team.
I won't lie to you, feel real good. You know, feel great to come back and to win how we did as a defense. Held them to 3 points. Got a takeaway, and it's a great start to the season.
Adam Hogue said I'm wrong. Football experts lined up to tell me I was wrong. When I said again this year,
I hurt myself.
I said you gotta play the preseason. You gotta play the preseason. You got 11 guys who all have to work together as a unit. You can't do that on opening day.
Steve, you weren't the only one. Lots of people have been saying that.
Well, now.
Well, you're just ahead of your time. You were ahead of the curve on this.
Kevin Powell joins us now. And by the way, this is coincidental because Kevin's always been a disappointment to me, so the Bears are disappointing last night. Good morning, Kevin.
It's all fitting, this deflating Friday morning after that loss.
You know, the city looked perfect last night. It was a beautiful night. You had the statues up. Crowd was bananas. And you go out, Chicago Bears, and you do that. How dare you? Kevin, your thoughts.
I couldn't believe what we were seeing with the offense. It was Mitch Trubisky's, probably all things considered, his worst game as a pro. I mean, offensively, they just had nothing going all night. Matt Nagy probably had his worst game as a head coach with the Bears. They absolutely had nothing going. I think Mitch Trubisky was really bad, but I thought the offensive line had the worst night of them all. They had nothing going. There was nothing in the running game. Trubisky was under attack the entire game. It was I could not believe what I was seeing with the offense. It was after the game, we were all kind of just looking around saying, "What was that? What was that?"
It was, and it,
How about people that spent $10,000 for four tickets? That's a bad night.
Yeah, bad investment. Poor investment.
How about people who got their cable repaired just in time so they could see the game?
Who are you speaking of, Dave? Someone we know?
Super Joe actually threatened Comcast if they didn't get to his house and get his cable repaired.
Yeah, they told me they wouldn't be able to show up until today. And I was like, we got a game. We got to be watching this game Thursday, 7 o'clock.
And then he disconnected his own cable at halftime.
Yeah.
That's right.
I was going to say, they would have been doing you a favor by not showing up to fix it. It was atrocious play by the offense.
Let me open the floor to questions. And the old coach has been here all morning, and he has a question for Dave and for you.
Shouldn't we be asking him questions?
Well, maybe.
I mean, he's the old coach.
Coach, you got a question?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Coach.
Kevin, what are you? Hey, I love Kevin.
You do?
I love Kevin. He's like my favorite. Hey, did you ever grow out of that 3T jersey I got you?
He's not a toddler. He's a grown man. How dare you?
I still have it.
How dare you? How dare you?
I love this guy. I love him. He's a great kid.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question.
Take your time getting to it, Coach.
Everybody talk about the offense. I don't get this. The defense really let it down, don't you think? Akeem Hicks and Kalee Mack, they didn't do nothing.
That's Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack.
I'm talking about the Bears.
Well, your thoughts on that question, Dave?
Well, I think the defense played well. I'm not going to were there a couple plays out there? Yeah, but I think for the most part, they hold Aaron Rodgers to basically one big play and then the touchdown, right? In the second quarter,
yeah,
right, but Coach.
They got it, Dave.
They sacked him five times,
but they had possession.
They didn't get any turnovers.
What was time of possession like?
Time of possession,
because I'm told the Packers had possession for over eight games last night.
No, they actually had
31:03 to 28:57.
Here's a question:
so 2 minute difference.
Was it that Green Bay was so good, or the Bears were so bad?
I think the truth is somewhere in between. I think their defense was a lot better than it's been. Don't you think, Kevin? I mean, the Packers' defense?
Absolutely. I mean, Mike Patton absolutely outcoached Matt Nagy last night. Mike Patton, the defense coordinator for Green Bay. Look, they held an Aaron Rodgers-led offense to 213 total net yards. The defense was outstanding last night. There was a couple plays that Rodgers got him on, that misdirection, fake reverse, were in the second quarter when he led the four-play 74-yard touchdown drive. But outside of that, I mean, come on. Defense was outstanding last night. They kept him in the game. The Bears' offense was horrendous, and the Bears still had a shot to tie things up late in the game. That's all because of the defense. You cannot even put an ounce of the blame on the defense last night. I thought they did a very good job. The offense was, everything last year with the offense was, and it's interesting. This is back-to-back seasons now with crushing week one losses.
Yeah, to the same team.
Right, I asked a couple of reporters this question after the game. I said, which one stung more, last year or this year? And it was sort of mixed. A lot of people said, of course, last year. Of course, it was this year. And I asked Prince Mukamara that, and he said, last year stung way more. But he said last year 100% felt worse than they did last night. And I think...
Why?
I think,
there were more expectations last night than there were last year.
But you know
what? Yeah.
Go ahead, Kev. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think if you look at, I think the feeling after last year's week one was, it stung so much because it felt like, okay, they're finally turning the corner. Maybe they're getting over the Aaron Rodgers hump. And everybody was cautiously optimistic heading into last season. A lot of us were like, okay, this defense, they got Khalil Mack, there's some momentum, maybe they make some strides.
Coach, you thought it was Connie Mack.
No, it's Kaylee.
Okay.
Get the name right, Paul.
I apologize, Coach. My mistake. And this year, I think it was all of us coming into the year, it was Super Bowl or bust. So in the larger scheme of things, it's worse. It's tough to bring it up because when you see what happened last night with the Bears offense, that should worry Bears fans.
You know what we saw? We saw game one of the preseason. Play the friggin' preseason.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference from last year. Last year, people were worried about the defense because they gave up three touchdowns, and the Packers just knifed through them in the fourth quarter of that game.
Right? Again, nobody played the preseason. Look, don't have the preseason. Just shut it down. Shut it down.
I agree. I don't think they should have the preseason.
Because, by the way, if you think they're going to be better against Denver and they're suddenly going to be looser, what's going to change between then and Denver? You know, this is the thing that would drive me crazy as a ticket-buying fan. Why do we have to wait till the third or fourth week of the season for the teams to be ready to go? It's because you don't play the preseason games, you don't have game speed and hitting under your belt,
and you're not ready. I agree with you. Now, I don't know to what extent the Broncos and Vic Fangio played his regulars during the preseason. Some teams did, some teams didn't. They're playing on Monday night. So, you know, we'll get an idea that you may see a lot of games this weekend
that suck.
That are kind of like what we saw last night.
Well, that'll make you feel better.
that's perfect. That's exactly right.
Coach, you have any last questions for these two?
You know, the problem with this whole thing is they keep changing the rules.
What do you mean?
Well, they make it too easy for these guys, right, Paul?
What are you talking about?
I agree, Coach. I agree.
You're darn right, you can carry a shiv.
On the field.
We had a guy, Paul, you remember this guy, Eddie Hacksaw Sekinowski, remember him? He carried a hacksaw.
Hard hitter.
He had a hacksaw. You gotta allow that stuff.
What was his name, Eddie Hacksaw Sekinowski?
Hacksaw Sekinowski.
Well, who else played with him as a linebacker?
Vic Tobo Asano. He's from Guam.
Who was the third part of that linebacking trio?
Picky Nakadore.
Picky Nakadore?
Yeah, that was his nickname. His real name was Bill.
All right. Hey, one question, Kev, before you go. Somebody wants to know if Roe got into the game with the tickets he bought.
I believe so. He got hard copy tickets, and he was freaking out because the Bears switched to mobile ticketing this year, and he was worried they got scammed, but apparently there are a handful of hard copy tickets out there. So as far as I know, he got it. As far as I know.
Guess you'll find out this afternoon on the Roe Count Show.
We will.
All right, Kevin, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Bye.
All right, see you, buddy. That's Kevin Paul.
I love Kevin Paul.
Okay, Coach. Coach, what are your plans for the day? Do you have big plans?
Yeah, I'm going to go get some cupcakes. I love them. I bake them, so I got to pick them up on the top.
Do you put those little cupcake holder things in the cupcake maker?
What am I, a sissy?
I can't take this.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you being here this morning.
You guys are the best.
Even me?
Oh, come on. Steve, I loved you for the rest of my life.
Well, I won't get that take.
But a two-minute thing.
All right, around the horn, what's everybody doing this weekend, Dave?
I am actually going to play some golf and do a little painting. At home?
Painting. Were you working in watercolors, or what are you working
No.
Painting lilies?
A palette. No, I have to paint a fence.
You're supposed to do caulking.
Then I'm going to caulk. I'm going to caulk and paint. Paint and caulk.
Hmm. What about you, G?
Heavy drinking.
All right,
kidding.
Should we be drinking all weekend?
I'm teasing. Okay. Nothing.
All right, good. Well, have fun. You know, when you say you do nothing, I don't know how you know when you're done. But good luck with that. Mary Vanderbilt.
Let's see. I'm going to go call some bingo at the home tomorrow, have lunch with my aunt.
Yeah, that's when you go through all the old ladies' purses, right?
It's always fun to see my aunt. I'm going to make some curtains. Let's see.
Is that code for something, making curtains?
I'm going to make some valances.
Like it.
Do you need any?
No, I'm all good there.
Okay.
That's a very productive weekend.
Steve Bertrand?
Yeah, I'm going to Ishnala.
The supper club.
Really? The ad got me.
Oh, let's go.
Very good. We got nothing to do, so we're going to drive up there tomorrow for dinner.
You know, I haven't heard one person yet say that they're coming to the show tomorrow night in Arlington Heights. Maybe you and I shouldn't go.
I'm not there.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I'm making curtains.
Oh, yeah.
Super Joe, what are you doing?
I'm going to a surprise birthday party.
Oh, really?
So that's all I can say. That's it.
It's a surprise to you, too, Joe. Right?
That's it. I've said too much, actually.
Okay. Yep. Viv, what are you doing?
I'm going to be catching up with George. Haven't talked much this week.
So you're going to have him on the phone all weekend?
All weekend, yeah. FaceTime. After the show, it's going to be from 10:30 up until Sunday, 9 p.m.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yep. Got a lot of catching up to do.
A lot of George.
John, tomorrow night, you and I will be at the Metropolis in Arlington Heights. Yep. If there's any tickets left, how do people get them?
They can go to metropolisarts.com on the website, or they can call the box office at 847-577-2121 tomorrow night, 7:30, you, me, and Tim Banker.
And I appreciate the staff's support in being there tomorrow night.
That's
We're
great.
Back in just a moment on 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy are here. Everybody, I hope you have a nice weekend. Hope to see you tomorrow night in Arlington Heights. And if you can't make it, then come out September 27th to the Beverly Arts Center when Bill Leff will resume his stand-up career. We're pretty excited about that, aren't we, John?
Oh, God, yes. We can't wait. That's going to be a great night. First time in 10 years.
Did I not mention that to you?
No, you forgot to mention that to me. What'll I be doing?
Just stand up.
Just stand up?
Yeah, stand up.
Mm.
Is the last stand-up show you did with me?
It might have been. Yeah. I don't remember the last
one. That had to be 10 years
Could
ago.
Have been. No, way more.
Had to be 11 years ago.
Yeah, 10 and a half years ago. 11 years ago,
Bill,
maybe.
If I booked you for a set in Ishnala, would you do it?
Oh, at Ishnala, yeah. I would definitely do stand-up.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
Oh,
the Supper Club crowd is my crowd. I like that crowd.
Get pelted by olives.
Yes. That's more fun for me.
What are you guys doing today?
We're going to wonder if Bill's ever going to be a Bears fan ever again. He based his whole fanship on last night's
game. There's no excuse for last night. There's no excuse. They are the disappointing child that you know can get an A and phones it in and gets a D.
Yes.
But you don't stop loving that child, do you?
Yes.
No,
what,
you
better,
don't.
What better way to teach that child a lesson than to stop loving that child?
You lock them out of the house.
Yep.
And you don't let them back.
Tough love.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an Asian mom, you stop loving that child.
Yep.
So I hear.
I'm having tough love tattooed on my knuckles later today.
Oh, that's good. What are you going to do with the tattoos around there now?
I got to get rid of those. I don't scrub them off somehow. I don't know.
Because I got to tell you, the right hand's misspelled.
It is?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me that?
All right. Other than that, what are you doing today?
We have a guest that you are excited about.
Walter Jacobson's son, Peter Jacobson, is now a regular on Fear the Walking Dead.
As is that
of last
right?
week. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Neither did Walter.
That was weird to witness.
Oh, I congratulated Walter on that, and he told me, I don't think that's true. And I go, no, it is true.
I believe his quote was, that damn kid
yes.
should tell me what's going on.
Yes.
So we'll have him on so Walter can figure it out.
Yeah.
Is Walter here as well?
No.
I haven't seen him yet
today. That would have been awkward.
Because that would have been interesting. Peter, you're talking to Peter and you bring Walter in to scold him.
Right.
We could always call him, Bill.
Yeah, we should call him.
There you go.
All right.
I'm headed up to Hallis. I'm working with the Bears today. So I'll see you guys back here on Monday.